Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up later this hour, New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli on shareholders demanding more transparency about their company's political campaign spending. We'll talk about that and where your power lies. If you don't like Citizens United, let's say, and you hold shares in a company that takes advantage of it. But right now, on Thursday, there was a military coup in Mali, reversing two decades of democracy. How sad. And Sunday, there was a peaceful election and transition of power, strengthening democracy in neighboring Senegal. So joining us now to talk about the status of democracy in West Africa and whether the uprisings in North Africa have changed things in the sub-Saharan region are two guests, Adam Nossiter, the West Africa Bureau Chief for the New York Times. He's in Bamako, Mali. And Ophabia Quest-Arkton, West Africa correspondent for NPR, joining us from Dakar in Senegal. Thanks to both of you. Hello from New York.
Greetings.
Adam, you're in Bamako, the capital of Mali. It's such a disconcerting story to hear any country is losing democracy when it's supposed to be an era of expansion. What is going on there now that the government has dissolved?
Well, they're sort of in a period of stasis. Everyone is waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's not clear that this coup is going to hold, and it's not certainly not clear whether or not the regional powers are going to let it stand. In fact, they're meeting in Ivory Coast today to decide what to do next about it. But for the moment, the coup leaders, who are a bunch of junior officers, seem to have a rather shaky grip on power. So the next step is not clear at all.
I've heard that the coup leader, Captain Amadou Hayo Sanogo, and his followers are armed with Libyan weapons. Is there a connection between the success of the uprising in Libya and the ouster of Muammar Gaddafi and the fall of democracy in Mali?
Well, there is a connection, but it's not exactly the way you suggested it. In fact, it is the rebel force that is opposing the Malian army that is armed with leftover weapons from the armories of Colonel Gaddafi. This is a rebel force that is in the north of Mali, in the desert, and it's composed of nomadic Tuareg tribesmen who for decades were supported by Colonel Gaddafi and who in turn fought for him. And when Colonel Gaddafi fell, they helped themselves to the weapons in his armories and launched an attack on the government in Bamako, which they've been fighting periodically on and off for 30 years. This time, they're considerably more successful than they've been in the past, simply because they have better weapons. And that, in turn, generated discontent in the ranks of the army at the way the government, the Malian government, was managing this rebellion. And that led to last week's coup. So, yes, there is a direct, indirect connection between what happened in Libya and last week's events here in Bamako.
Listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls on this. If we have any Malians or Senegalese listeners right now, 212-433-WNYC. If you originally hail from either of those two countries, Mali or Senegal, we're opening the phones for you just for the next few minutes. So call right up and you'll get right on at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What are you hearing from your friends and relatives back home? And what should people think? Is this a fragile moment for democracy around sub-Saharan Africa? Is this an opportunity for expansion of democracy around sub-Saharan Africa following on the so-called Arab Spring? Ophabia Quest-Arkton in Dakar, Senegal, Sunday's peaceful election. Is it surprising to you at all, or should we consider it routine because this was already an elected president, President Wade, losing an election and now transferring power to the winner, Macky Sall.
Well, elections in Senegal since the 1800s have been routine and have been generally, well, they've happened in order. But this time round, there has been fear and concern in Senegal because outgoing President Abdoulaye Wade sought a third term, which his political opponents and many Senegalese felt violated the spirit and the law of the constitution. So before the first round last month, there were violent street protests. Six people died. And that for Senegal is a lot of death. So people were very concerned that during the runoff on Sunday, although there wouldn't be violence, that President Wade, if he lost, may not stand down. There has been a collective sigh of relief, an oof, as they say here, that President Wade called up Macky Sall promptly, even before provisional official results were out, to concede defeat.
Ophébia, looking at the big picture, we mentioned the connection between the coup in Mali and the fall of Gaddafi in Libya. Do you see the pro-democracy uprisings in Arab North Africa as contagious for sub-Saharan Africa? Is there opportunity for expansion of democracy as a result of what's going on in the north of the continent?
Well, let me just say that West Africa started the democratic movement long before the Arab uprisings that we've witnessed in the past 12 months. Adam is in Bamako, Mali. I was there 21 years ago when the coup d'etat that brought the ousted president to power happened. Now, he handed power back, President Amadou Toumani Touré, 1 year later, and then was elected as a civilian president 10 years later. So, you know, democracy has taken ground in West Africa. People try and make the link with the Arab uprisings, but I think it's different on this side of the continent from Libya, from Egypt, what we have seen here. There are actually many established democracies in sub-Saharan Africa already. Some have wobbled, like as we've seen in Mali with the coup last week. But talk about Cape Verde here in West Africa, Ghana, in Botswana, in South Africa, in many parts of the continent, Lusaka, Zambia had a handing over from an established president to the opposition. Ghana has done it twice. Senegal has now done it. People tend to say, well, Africa has shaky democracy. I think it's actually entrenching democracy, but there are some countries, unfortunately, what the experts are calling now a regression, a democratic regression, is happening in some. But generally, the continent is moving forward. We, of course, concentrate on where there is conflict and where democracies have fallen down, as in Mali now.
Bala, originally from Mali in Manhattan, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I mean, they got the story wrong. The president, he's been accused of working with the rebel, with the Tuareg. He sent it to the military. The military getting slaughtered. He's not doing nothing. That's all the problem, because they say his wife and he's working, making money with the rebels. And then the guy who made the coup also was trained by the American military.
The guy who made the coup, Adam, was trained by the American military. Do you know if there's any truth to that?
Yes, that's true, but it's hardly unusual because many West African officers received training from the United States military. Many, many Malian officers have received training in the U.S. because the Malian army has been a close ally of the U.S. military in fighting against elements of al-Qaeda in the north of Mali. So it's not unusual at all that this guy got some training from the U.S. military.
Bala, thank you. Osman, originally from Senegal in Queens, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
What do you want to say?
I want to talk about the situation in Senegal.
Please.
I want to say that Abdoulaye Wade is like an old man, outdated man, and he didn't get the prospect of the development of future of the Senegalese nation. And the very fact that he was trying to bring a high level of corruption in this country, that leads to a conflict. First of all, there was a conflict of generation. Second, there was the problem is he put his son next to him, and his son was having like a huge department, and he was able to manage a lot of sector of the country, and he wasn't able to do it, and that leads to the fact that he was punished, because I felt like he underestimated the civil Senegalese society, and that's one of the reasons why people reacted, because besides that, he was trying to play the religious card, which means that he was trying to go to see political leaders and give them money to get like some kind of support from them.
Yes.
But I think that deep down, he didn't understand that there is a strong traditional democratic behavior that is deeply embedded in Senegalese society.
So this is a good day for Senegal, because then he abided by that democratic impulse when he was unelected, right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. One more call, and David in Manhattan, who's not from Africa, wants to come back to this question of the U.S. role. David?
Hello. Yes, thanks. The United States has for many years now been arming and advising the Mauritanian army in Mauritania next door, and the Mauritanian army has actually collaborated in at least one major operation in Mali together with the Malian army. The United States is, of course, concerned about an alleged al-Qaeda connection to all of this, and I wonder if the United States has a role in this that we should be paying attention to.
Thank you. Oh, Fabia?
A role in the coup in Mali, or a role in what exactly?
But I think he's asking more generally.
The military is established in the region. Adam has said it. It has Operation Flintlock, where it works with armies here in Senegal, Mauritania, Mali, Niger, until the coup. And definitely the U.S. has an interest in this region. It is worried about what it sees as perceived terrorism in this vast Sahara desert zone that is poorly policed, and where not only is al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb said to be operating, but of course drug trafficking in areas where there is, you know, it's like the Wild West, except that it's in the desert. So yes, the U.S. and the White House are implicated and interested and very concerned, because of course with the coup in Mali, the ally with whom they were working ousted President Amadou Toumani Touré, who I said was a military officer himself. They don't know exactly who is now in power, although the coup leader has had training in the U.S. So definitely the U.S. is interested in what's going on in West Africa right now.
Oh, Fabia Quist-Arkton, West Africa correspondent for NPR. Adam Nossiter, the West Africa bureau chief for the New York Times. Democracy solidified in Senegal. Democracy now threatened in Mali. Thank you both for having this conversation with us.
Pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli on shareholders demanding more transparency about their company's political campaign spending in the era of Citizens United. Stay with us.